continue. And that's the best message I know to preach about. Somebody that can help us, amen. And we've looked in days gone by at the foreshadows exposed. They were in the historical books of Genesis to Esther. And then we've seen feelings expressed in the poetical books of the Savior from Job to Song of Solomon. And we've seen the foretellings exclaimed, the prophetical books in Isaiah to Malachi. Then facts examined, we found those in the gospel there on Christmas morning. Last week we've seen the followers exhibited. We find them through Acts. But this morning I want us to take a look at the fruits expected. The fruits expected. Now I want to tell you, first of all, he said, hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about, digged a wine press in it and built a tower, and let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. By the way, he's coming back. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruits of it. The husbandmen took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. And again he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all he sent unto them, saying, they'll reverence my son. And when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him, cast him out of the vineyard, and slew him. When the Lord, therefore, of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto the husbandmen? They said unto him, he'll miserably destroy those wicked men, and will let out his vineyard to other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their season. Thank you for standing this morning of honoring the reading of the Word of God. I'm reminded today in the passage in John's Gospel in chapter 15, he said, I am the true vine, is what Jesus said. And he said, my Father is the husbandman. And every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, I'm going to tell you, the Lord Jesus is not only interested in saving you, but he's interested in accomplishing things through you. And certainly we find here today that we all sit in a good Bible-believing fundamental church. And certainly it is God's vineyard. And God is the husbandman. God owns this vineyard. I'm glad that this church is God's vineyard. And certainly there's four points that I want to deal with today in working and concerning in these vineyards. And I want to say, first of all, you'll notice in the text of Matthew where we read, there is the worth of the vineyard. The worth of the vineyard. Now, God is the owner of the vineyard. A lot of people say, well, this is your church and my church. I understand that vernacular, but at the end of the day, honey, let me tell you, this is God's vineyard. And a lot of preachers, they get so attached to what they're doing, they become to think that it is their vineyard and they planted the vine. No, they're just vine dressers. God is the owner of the vineyard. And can I tell you that the local church in God's vineyard is worth a whole lot to Him? And certainly a vineyard, I want to say, is a select piece of ground that's taken out of other common ground. I'm glad we have a steeple. Upon that steeple, there's a cross. And behind where I preach, there's a cross. There's a lot of Baptist churches today that want to take their cross down, take their sign down. Can I tell you? They say, well, it offends. Let me tell you, honey, the cross is our bloodstained banner today. And I'm glad it lets people know what side we're on. And if the cross offends you, get right with God. Because the cross is the way you and I will get to heaven. I want to say the worth of a vineyard, it is of high value. You know, when God looks into this vineyard, I'm going to tell you it's worth a lot to Him because He gave the best thing He had for it. Can I tell you, in the book of Acts this morning, chapter number 20 and verse number 28, in Acts 20 and verse number 28, there you'll find that the apostles were writing and they had this to say. He said, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers." To feed the church of God. He's talking to that local pastor. Watch this now. "Which he hath purchased with his own blood." Boy, the worth of the vineyard, it is of high value. And then I want to say it's not only a place of high value, but it's a place of different varieties. You know, there are fruits galore in God's vineyard. I heard men preaching one time, used to make me feel bad, that where Jesus said that He wants us to produce fruit. And I realized, thank God for soul winners. I'm glad that I've met a few in my life. Matter of fact, I'm glad one came to my trailer one Saturday morning in 1981 and introduced me to the Lord Jesus Christ. But let me tell you something. God is in the center saving bit. We can't save anybody. We've got to lift up the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, He told us to go and bear fruit. And notice in John 15, He said, "Those of you that bear fruit, He purges you that you may bear more fruit." Well, God wants us to bear fruit in His vineyard. What is the fruit? You know, used to preachers would make me feel bad. You'd go to some conferences or you'd go to some campaigns and they'd say, "Well, if you've not won 100 people to the Lord this year, you're not right with God." I've got a question about some soul winning techniques and the easy believism numbers of our day. And let me tell you, honey, I believe when a person gets born again by the grace of God, they'll go to church and they'll live there. Now watch your Bible. It's not my opinion. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And all things are passed away. And behold, all things are become anew. We love Him because He first loved us. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Honey, let me tell you, when you get genuinely born again by the grace of God, your life a change. And so if we say we've won 300 to the Lord, then why aren't there 300 more here this morning? Can I tell you, God, it takes the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God to not only convict men, but to convince men that they need the Savior. I'm glad I can go to a place and a time, honey, not where I joined a card or I joined a church or signed a card or got baptized. I'm glad I can go to a blessed day when the Lord Jesus come by and the Spirit of the Holy Ghost convicted me of my sin, convinced me I was a sinner, and by faith I reached up of what God had set for me in my life. I'm glad my life changed by the glory of God. And therefore, can I tell you that the souls of men is not the only fruit that Jesus is talking about. We all have fruit as a Christian. You'll notice this in the book of Galatians. If you turn over there this morning, let's look real quickly. Galatians 5 and verse number 22. And let's take a look at some fruits of the Spirit. And we're talking about the different varieties of fruit. Matter of fact, I'm going to close with a passage today where there's a fig tree in the vineyard. It's not all grapes. There are different varieties of fruit. Can I tell you that I can only operate in the vineyard that God has put me in? I'm a vine dresser. I do a lot of cutting back and digging around. But honey, let me tell you something. God has given you a lot of gifts to do things through the Spirit of God that would bring fruits out in your life. And there are different varieties of fruit. It's hard for a man like me to be long-suffering. I don't have a lot of patience. I can tell looking at some of you, you're looking at your watch, you don't have much patience either. But certainly, I'm going to tell you, God has different varieties of fruit in His children. And here He says this in Galatians chapter number 5 and verse number 22. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit. He said, if the Spirit of God lives in you, there ought to be some of these fruits coming out of you. He says, first of all, He says, it is love. He said, if you don't love your neighbor in whom you've seen, how can you love God in whom you've not seen? Amen. He said, men shall know that you're my disciples if you have love one for another. And certainly, oh, how the Spirit brings love. I'm glad there's love in this vineyard. Amen. Can I tell you, we do not condone sin here, but we love sinners. Can I tell you, honey, this is a separated place, and we love sinners here. I'm glad Jesus is the friend of sinners. I do some prison ministry, and let me tell you, the only reason that I'm not in prison, I didn't get caught. And some of you go on and turn your lampshade up real high. The only reason you here today, because the grace of God didn't let you get caught in what you was a-doing. That time when you drove home in drunken stupor, you didn't cross the yellow line and kill somebody head on. Or that stealing, you didn't get caught. Or that adultery, you didn't get caught and somebody shoot you and kill you. You just better thank God that He is a God of love this morning. Therefore, we ought to have a vineyard of love around here. Now, hey, let me tell you, God don't care what color folks' skin is. Some of you flying them rebel bars, you ought to burn that trash this morning. The God of glory, you better be glad He loves white folk and black folk and green folk. You say, I don't like it. Meet me at the service. We'll talk about it. I'm going to tell you, He is a God that loves all people this morning. You redneck. And I'm going to tell you, we ought to be sharing and showing the love of Jesus in our life. And some of you boys better quit saying, I ain't going to do that or I won't do that. He'll make you eat some of them words. The Bible said you better say them words, seize them with grace. Me and one of the little church boys yesterday, we went a squirrel hunting. We had a great day. Come back, skinned them squirrels. Boy, we put some flour on them things, a little black pepper and salt. Brother Gerald fried them things, made some of them Miss B's biscuits. Can I get a witness that? Come out of that frozen bag. Amen. You say, pray. You're a Christ. You mean you eat them fried squirrels? Praise God. That's why I can't stand around in the pulpit this morning. You say, what do you say? Then we went and we shot crows. Somebody said, you eat them? I said, no, I eat enough of that every day of my life. Boy, ain't it something when we say, I ain't going to do that, and we find ourselves doing that. I remember I said, my kids ain't going to have no telephone in their pocket or in the room. Ain't going to have no TV in the room. No, they had them all in the room. Boy, we need to have the love of God in our vineyard. We better realize somebody walks in that door don't look like us. By the grace of God, we could be there this morning. And I'll go on and write it down. I believe in doing right, dressing right, and even spitting white. Somebody say amen. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, honey, you didn't get where you are in sanctification overnight. It took a process of time. We better shine and show and share the love of Christ that passes all understanding. Let me tell you something. I'm wanting to preach at a ministry. I'm wanting to help God build a ministry. I want to be in a part of what God is doing in these last days. You say, preacher, hey, what are you up to? What is your agenda? I'm out to prove that this Bible still works if you apply it. I'm still out to prove the love of God is still saving sinners. I'm out to say the old songs still work. They still fit. And doing right is still right in the day that we live, and sin is still sin in the day that we live. People talk about you like a convict if you got convictions and standards. Honey, let me tell you something. It's a big difference in a child of God and a Pharisee. You hear me and hear me well this morning. A drunkard never bothered Jesus. A holler never bothered Jesus. It's that religious crowd that always offended Jesus. Matter of fact, he went through the temple. He said, you bunch of Pharisees, religious fanaticals, I'm going to turn your tables over. Hey, hey, it'd do the average Baptist church a lot of good for God to come around and turn some of their tables upside down. God owns it all, the love of Christ. Honey, if we didn't have the love in Christ in us, we'd all die and go to hell in our sin. But I'm glad, hallelujah, I'm glad somebody loved me when I didn't care about myself. I'm glad He loved me with an everlasting love this morning. I'm not condoning sin. I think we ought to do right. I think we ought to live right. I think we ought to stick to our heritage and our culture. You hear me? We ought to stick to our culture. But God's in the center business. Amen. Amen. I'd say more, but you can't handle it on a Sunday morning. Different varieties. He said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. And then watch this. It is joy. Some of you look around at people that get happy in Jesus. Well, honey, let me tell you, joy don't come out of a bottle. It don't come out of a joint. It don't come out of the backside of a dirt road in the back of a car. Joy comes from Jesus. Joy unspeakable and full of glory this morning. A lot of people say, man, I love smoking weed. I love drinking that alcohol. I love doing drugs. It just takes me to places nothing else does. That's right, honey. That's exactly right. It'll take you to places and it'll keep you further than you ever intended to stay over there. But I'm glad there's joy unspeakable with Jesus. I'm having the time of my life. Young people, you look up here this morning. Hey, hey, you can say, well, you're old-fashioned. You ought to thank God you got a preacher that's old-fashioned. Amen. Some of you ought to thank God you got a mom and daddy that's old-fashioned, amen. Knows how to pull your britches up and put a belt on you, amen. And turn your ball cap around right. Somebody say amen right there this morning. Amen. Got your cap on sideways. Don't know what way you're going. Turn your hat around right. Put your crease in it and tear the end out of it. And look like a real glorified redneck for the grace of God. Little Justin Bieber looking something. Yeah, man. Little skinny jeans and some kind of little something needs a haircut. My daddy, you set me down to the barbershop. I'd look and say, Daddy, can I have some bangs? He said, son, the only bang you're going to get if you don't get that haircut, it's going to be bang, bang, bang. Amen. Well, glory. I'm glad we can have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Don't laugh at people come to church and have joy. You know, this amazes me about good old Baptists and IR1. You know, you can go down at the ball game, people shouting, and man, they rocking the house down. I mean, buddy, they are getting with the program. You hear me this morning? I mean, it's on like Donkey Kong. And then they come to the house of God. Somebody's enjoying their self. Somebody's smiling. You're saying, look at that fanatic. Honey, let me tell you, I'm glad to be a fanatic for Jesus this morning. I'm glad I got something in me that weed never put in me. I'm glad I got something in me. Honey, that alcohol never done for me. Thank God there's joy unspeakable. I got joy in the deer stand. I got joy on the golf course. I got joy in the restaurant, thank God. I got joy in the funeral home. I didn't say happiness, I said joy. Happiness comes through happenings. But joy comes from Jesus. Boy, I'm going to tell you, we ought to have some joy about us. The average place, somebody come in and look in there, why in the world would they want what you got? Oh, Lord, it's Sunday morning. We got to get up and go to church. My goodness, you get to your job 6, 7, 8 o'clock, and you can't even get the house of God by 10. Somebody say amen right there.
I mean, your priorities are really where they need to be, ain't they? You say, well, preacher, I don't like you. Let me go and tell you, I'm not running for mayor in this town. Hey, hey, I'm a preacher put here by the grace of God. Hallelujah. And I'm going to do my job the best that I can. Some of you want petting and pumped up and primed. You better look in there and be sure God's in you so you can go to heaven one of these mornings. Oh, I'm glad you come. But you could be more faithful. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Wednesday night you can ride a John Deere tractor in this place. But I know I got to be compassionate and I'm trying the best I can. But when I done studied all day, I want somebody to come listen to it. Go on, shake that mule head this morning. It'll help you say, amen or oh me. Amen. Get involved. God will help you. Well, you just mean, no, I'm a preacher. There's still a few preachers interested in something than chicken and women. Somebody say amen right there. Go on, say amen right there, somebody. I got some of y'all looking like your mom-in-law moved in with you. Fruits of the Spirit, joy. Man, we ought to love serving Jesus. And let me tell you something. Let me go and tell you, you ain't going to have no joy with sin in your life. That's the reason some of y'all endure coming to church. You're full of sin. It ain't no biggins. Ain't no sin comes to my house, comes behind this tie. I got to watch myself. And I'm not meddling. I'm preaching. I'm telling you, this thing is high maintenance here this morning. Wicked thoughts, wicked looks. I mean, little old sweet woman going to Sunday school can pull out in front of me down yonder, going into the First Baptist Church, and I'm done late. Man, for long, I mean, I'm going to shake my fist out of the window. Back of my Suburbans, meet me at Liberty Baptist Church. Amen. That's just how we are, ain't it? Boy, ain't it something, fights never break out at your house till Sunday morning. I mean, the kids do right all week, but Sunday morning they get crazy on them. Joy. We're not going to have joy in our life if there's sin there. Jesus said, I write these things unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. Peter said, joy unspeakable and full of glory. Man, when God comes a move and there's joy raises up in my spirit, that's just unbelievable. I'm glad Jesus gives me joy. Young people, I sure wish I could save you some scars and wear and tear on your body, on your mind and in your spirit. Some of you are so young and it's so vital right now in the years where you are. They'll make fun at you at school because you're not smoking their weed or drinking their brew. And they'll make fun at you if you're not looking at the things they're looking at. Just let them make fun. Keep yourself pure, young people. Keep yourself pure. And let me tell you, young people, you that have not, there's forgiveness at the foot of the cross of the Lord Jesus. Let me tell you, Mama and Daddy, keep yourself pure. Keep your mind right and your heart right. You've got a lot at stake in the vineyard that you're in this morning. Boy, God, He has thanked so much of His vineyard, the worth of it. It's so important to Him, and He's looking for fruit to come out of His vineyard. My goodness, we ought to have love and joy and then peace. You know, it's awful to think that you've got to die and go to hell without Jesus. But let me tell you, you don't have to do that this morning. Some of you that are here today, you've never been saved by the grace of God. Did you know I wouldn't know of a better day in America than today to accept the Lord Jesus as my Savior? Some of you, you've heard about being saved and you wonder about it. You say, well, Pastor, how do I get saved? How do I get this peace? You've got to accept Christ. You've got to come to Him by faith. Some of you young kids, God's starting to deal with you about getting saved. Get saved when you're young. Get saved when God's dealing with you. Some of you that are older, the devil try to make you ashamed. Well, I belong to a church, preacher, but I've never been saved. You'll never have the peace of Christ until you get born again by the grace of God. I knew my wife was a Christian, Brother Tim. I knew she was different the first time I ever met her. Boy, it scared me to death. I'd never heard a preacher preaching on the rapture of the church and the return of the Lord. I'd never heard those things. Boy, I can remember, Brother Jeff, when the man of God would get telling about Christ coming back and the church being taken out of this world. And I was thinking, my wife's going to leave and I'm going to be behind. And I'm going to tell you, it's miserable, Brother Troy, to lay down and wonder, when I die, I'm going to lift my eyes in hell. But you don't have to lead that kind of lifestyle. You can have peace in Jesus this morning. Because He died on an old rugged cross that you could have that peace in your life. Oh, I'm glad I've got... You say, Pastor, are you ready to die? No, I'm not ready to die, but I are ready to die. I'm ready to meet my God. And it's not going to be on my own merits. It's because of the blood of His Son that I'm going to stand there redeemed by faith of what I put in His Son. You look all through that Bible, nothing satisfies God but blood. He said, when I see the blood, you better thank Him one day, honey, that He give you saving grace, that you could respond to Him by faith and be gloriously saved. You remember the peace that come over you and that you had in you? Boy, I'll never forget that day. It was a wonderful day in my life. Boy, you know, a lot of people say you got to say this and say, let me tell you what you got to do. You got to come to Christ. In your own way. I'll never forget, Brother Troy, on the third bench on the left side of the church, when I did this, I didn't get baptized. I did by the Holy Ghost and the family of God. He put me in Jesus. But I didn't get in that water. I said, Lord, save me. When I did that, my life changed. Are you perfect? Oh, by Jesus I am. But this old nature riles up on me, but I'm glad I've got peace. Do you have peace in your heart? You'd be surprised at the people that die without peace. Boy, I want to have peace when I die, Brother Mike. Brother Mike, I want to have peace with you. I want to have peace with my church. I want to have peace with my wife, with my girls, with my son-in-laws, with my grandbaby. I want to have peace with mankind, but the main peace is that I've got peace with God. Do you have that this morning? Aren't you tired of living a life in misery and dread? I remember when Brother John got saved. His wife had got saved a Sunday or so before him. He said, you know, Brother Ken, what really got to bothering me was my wife was saved and I wouldn't. And I knowed she is going to heaven and I wouldn't. You say, preacher, why would you say such thing? Because I'm a preacher. You better think. Because eternity's too long to be wrong. Amen. The sermons went to a whole new area. I'll be closing shortly. But I want you to see that the fruit of the Spirit is love. I knew nothing about love till God saved me and the Holy Spirit come to live inside me. Then I only found out about love. I just thought I loved my children till I got saved. I just thought I loved my wife till I got saved. This is amazing to me. That God allowed a woman like that to come into my life to reach me and to live with me for 30-something years and raise children and grab. You know, I took so much, Brother Gerald, for granted. So much for granted. And now do I only know about the love of Christ. Love, joy, peace. God's looking for this fruit, long-suffering. Aren't you glad God's long-suffering? Miss Sherry, I want you to come. Look here, gentleness, goodness, and faith. Goodness and faith. You know, I never knew nothing about faith till the Spirit of God come and lived in me. You say, preacher, I want to see it. Well, you're never going to do nothing by faith. Let me tell you something. Faith is not convenient. Faith is not practical. Faith is taking God at His word of what He said to you. Do you have faith? Fruits of the Spirit. God's vineyard, the worth of His vineyard. God thinks a lot of His vineyard. Tonight, I want to continue this thought. But this morning, this gear's changed on these different varieties of fruit that are displayed. And look what it says, meekness. That's not weakness. Jesus was a meek man. He wasn't a weak man. What a lot of you don't understand, Jesus called them, you bunch of vipers. You bunch of vipers. Jesus turned tables over. He was a mighty man. Hands of leather. Simon Peter, a fisherman. Andrew, a fisherman. But yet they became humble men. Meek. Jesus said, learn of Him, for He's meek and lowly. Brother Randy, that quote from last Sunday. Isn't that so true? The younger we are, we think that the most prized possessions are those on the high shelf that we can get up and reach. But no, the greatest are those the lowest that we can get down to. Jesus said this. Remember when the Lord said this out of that old weeping prophet? He said, is there no balm in Gilead? Then why isn't the wealth, why isn't the health of my people made well? Why are they so sickly? Is there no balm in Gilead? And I said all that to say this about that little balsa tree. You know what it does? It grows real low to the ground. And the old writer said, Brother Mike, when you break it, there's an oozing substance that comes out. And when it's applied, it fixes things. The lower we get, the more God can use us. A lot of us are too big and mighty for God to use us. He said, learn of me, because I'm meek and lowly. And you shall find rest to your soul. Are you saved this morning? You got that peace in your heart that you need? Temperance. Against such there is no law. I'm glad there are varieties of fruit. I want to say this, I'll be done. What are you contributing? God saved you to bear fruit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, temperance, faith, love. I sure do want to bear some fruit. This is God's vineyard. He thinks a whole lot of it. Because that's the worth of the vineyard. This morning, child of God, what do you need? As my sister plays, we open this altar. You say,